I'm Neil Wilkins, and welcome to the Mindful Living Show. So welcome to Online Tools for Marketers. This is a short webinar designed slightly differently to the usual ones that we do. And this one is very much about just literally sharing with you a whole bunch of different tools that I use in my role as a marketer. Some of them are a little bit strategic, some of them are very practical, and some of them are just helpful, really. And I think this is what we're looking for as marketers in our everly increasing busy days. It's always useful to have a whole series of tools and things in our sort of armory that we can actually use to make our world and sort of an efficient and effective place. So I've got some 30 tools to share with you. So I'm going to go through these very, very quickly. So if you have a pen and paper and you would like to take down any of the addresses for the websites for each of these tools, then feel free to do so. If not, you can obviously share any other sort of ideas in the message thread below this if you're watching this on the recording in the usual way. So I'm going to focus on four different areas, four different kind of themes, I guess, you could say. And these are tools that I use as a marketer. So I have varying roles. Obviously, I teach marketing. I create strategic plans for clients. I've got my own businesses. So I kind of do all of the above for myself as well. And what I find is that as I go through my working life, and some of this kind of crosses over into private leisure stuff as well, just because it's interesting. And so there is a bit of a blur between some of these things. And some of the tools I'm going to share with you appear on my laptop. And some of the tools that I will share with you appear on my phone. So there's a nice little blend here of things that you can use and ideas that you can play with to hopefully make your daily work as a marketer a little bit more efficient, a little bit more timely, and fingers crossed, open up some real insights for you in terms of like the data that you can capture and the interaction you can have with customers. So the first thing I'm going to talk about are things like the typical kind of interaction we have with our colleagues, with our peers, maybe with our agencies. Sort of meetings and collaboration is going to be one area that I want to talk about. I'm also going to cover quite a few tools that I use in controlling campaigns and projects, looking at how I manage my websites and social media activity, and a few little tools that I use for analytics. There's obviously a big obvious one there in terms of Google Analytics, but I want to just share a couple of others that I use on a day-to-day basis, again, just to really sort of keep some control over the activities that are happening for me and around me. I'm going to also cover some tools that I use for finding content, but also creating content. Even though I would not describe myself as a creative, there are times when as a marketer, both for clients and particularly for myself and the kinds of content that I publish for my own personal brand, but also for some of my businesses, there's times when I don't want to put this out to a third party, out to an agency or anything. I just want to do the work myself because these are kind of quick little things like images, resizing and all that kind of thing. So I've got some tools that I've got up my sleeve that I use for those, and I'll share those with you. And then at the end, I've got some little kind of add-ons which help me to just administer all of the stuff that goes on in my working day. So 30 tools. It's going to be quick. It's going to be fast. This is not a technical in-depth webinar, but hopefully out of this, you'll find some new ones that you're not aware of and not using at the moment that are worth going away to play with. So have a little note, a little notebook ready, pen and paper, or type these on screen as we go through them. And if you need any more details, if you miss anything at all, obviously you can watch this again on catch up if you're watching this live now. Or if not, just drop me a quick message, mail@neilwilkins.online, if you want any further guidance or any of the other tools that I use. This is my top 30, as it were. Okay, so the first one is one that we, I guess most of us are using or coming across if we're working with clients or other parties is, of course, Microsoft Teams. I'm not going to spend a huge amount of time on this one because it is something that is becoming, you know, part and parcel of most people's active days. If you work for a large organization or you've got large clients in corporate world, you will be using Microsoft Teams. Benefits for me of Microsoft Teams, obviously, is the interaction and the embedded nature of all the other things like Outlook and calendars and stuff inside there. But for me, I'm not doing this one down, but for me, there is a better option. And it is actually what we're using right here, right now in this particular webinar, which is Zoom. I prefer Zoom really because of the functionality, the current ability to have breakout rooms if you've got a large group. Microsoft are saying that within Teams they're going to be launching an equivalent to breakout rooms and some new features this coming autumn. No dates announced quite yet, but for me, I think I'll always revert back to Zoom. It's something I've been using for a couple of years now and still feels like home. Lots of things you can do, obviously, as we know within Zoom, screen share, which is what we're doing now, recording, which is what we're doing now. And, you know, the annotation and polls and all those little kind of survey things and chat. It's a very, very easy system to use on a day-to-day basis. If you go for the free option, you've got up to 40 minutes of meetings. If you go for the paid option, you can add in things like webinars and unlimited length of meeting. As I say, with those, I'm not going to spend a huge amount of time talking about those. We've got some really more fun stuff to be covering in the tools that I use in my top 30. For me, number three on the list, though, is quite an interesting one that not many people seem to be using, but it's a very interesting, very accessible one, which is something called Google Meet. Now, Google Meet was Google's attempt, or is Google's attempt, at providing a replacement for something they called Hangouts, which was their attempt to get into the whole social media space with Google Plus. As we know, if you're monitoring Google and its activities, that one has been retired. But Google Meet is their re-entry into this whole kind of video conferencing space. You don't need any software. You just need a phone or a laptop, and you can use it on a browser-based basis. And you can do little impromptu meetings, a little bit like FaceTime, a little bit like WhatsApp video calling. It's just a very light, but very much business friendly, secure environment. So if you just need a little impromptu call, try Google Meet. Obviously, if you search Google for it, it comes up at the top of the list, and have a little play there. As I say, you just get a little sort of prompt, which gives you a meeting code or a link, and you can share that by email or by text with anybody that you wish to have a chat with. Very few features in there. I wouldn't say it's anywhere near in the same league as Zoom, but if it's appropriate for the little calls that you're looking to have, it might be just a nice, quick little feature for you. Integrated with all of these is number four on my list, which is a very, very useful tool that I use as a marketer, but also to plan some of my kind of sort of personal projects as well. We're going to be looking to do a house move soon, and I've got all the data and stuff, or all the connections, all the sort of notes and stuff around my house move put into something called Mural. That's M-U-R-A-L, and it's mural.co. I've been trialing this one now since the beginning of the year, as recommended to me by a colleague. And honestly, I can't get out of Mural. Mural is an online whiteboard. If you're using Microsoft Teams, it's an embeddable app within Teams. You just have to search Mural. But if you do the browser-based version, which is what I use, it's mural.co. You can set up a free trial, or if, like me, you then decide after the trial it's very, very useful, you can go and subscribe. It's not cheap, but I would say if you are into visualizing stuff, if you're into collaboration in terms of idea generation, innovation, project development, product development, it's a really, really powerful whiteboard service. You can create multiple whiteboards, you can mark them as public, and you can share the links with any visitors that you don't actually have to pay for, so there's no additional cost to that. I'm using them for my teaching. You can see on screen some of the, obviously I can't for confidentiality reasons zoom in and show you the fine detail here, because these have been created both with clients and also with other delegates. in private sessions, but there are some amazing sort of post-it sessions you can do. You can add video, you can add imagery into it as well. So there's a whole bunch of interactions that you can have there. It's a very, very powerful interactive tool. So that's mural.co. And if you're a visual person like me, it's a really, really great place to spend your time. And of course, when we talk about collaboration, a lot of us are using now Slack. It's a tool that a lot of you watching this will know that I use quite actively for a lot of my teaching and the kind of ongoing support and parallel kind of feed of data and information. Slack is like having Facebook within your business. It's a timeline-based, interactive, collaborative kind of source, if you like. You can set up a range of different channels. You can have little breakout sessions, and if you think about it as a timeline based collaborative tool, you can find that it's very useful for storing good assets. You can put into their recordings of sessions that you record. You can add in any kind of links, and you can upload things like PDFs as well. So it's a kind of a multiple or multimedia storage place that is very, very easy to access. And the nice thing about it from my perspective is it's very easy to search within Slack as well. So if you upload a whole range of different types of data or assets in there, they're very easy to find again. So a nice little collaborative tool, available both online as a web-based service, and also on a desktop download that you can have. And it's also very, very effective with alerts actually on your smartphone as well. So I find I use that on a really regular basis. So for collaboration and meetings, those are my kind of top five or six tools that I use. And then when it comes out into some kind of sort of campaign things, so now we're starting to look at tools that I use to communicate with the outside world, and particularly when I'm looking to communicate with customers. For me, one of the really kind of trusted old faithful tools here is something I've been using for a long, long time. Everybody knows about MailChimp. If you haven't explored and experimented with MailChimp, it has to be, for me, the best in class free email software database, if you like, or sort of mini CRM system out there. A lot of great new features have been introduced this year. There's a lot of ways you can segment your databases. You can take it down to database segmentation of one. So if you want to do some really targeted campaigns using email, email is coming back into vogue. So I would certainly advocate having some tools. Obviously, with a lot of these tools, other alternatives are available. If you have your own internal system, if you work for a large organization. I'm not saying it's not worth doing. I just think MailChimp, with all of its kind of very intuitive design features, you don't have to be a designer to create really, really good looking email campaigns. And it, for me as well, it's the reporting in real time that's so strong. You can see the links that people have clicked or not clicked. You can make little adaptations in real time and watch the effect. So if you're looking to do some split test, A/B testing in your campaigns, that's a really, really great little tool to use. Again, it's available online on a browser-based service, but also it's available on your smartphone as well. When we come to look at beginning to build campaigns, a service that I've been using sort of through the summer and in recent months is something called ClickFunnels. You can go to clickfunnels.com to explore. I would suggest that once you do go to ClickFunnels, know that you are into their ClickFunnel. ClickFunnel basically is a creative process for creating step-by-step customer journeys, or as they describe them, sales funnels. As soon as you visit this website, and then you go to social media, you will get advertising. So tread carefully. If you don't want to be part of this, then don't go there. The way that they're designed is that they do as they practice, or they practice as they preach. So what you'll find is that when you go to somewhere like ClickFunnels, is they've obviously got the little Facebook Pixel or the Google Pixel, they'll be tracking you and following you through social media. So expect to get some promotions from them. ClickFunnels is a really interesting service. You can get a couple of weeks trial and go in and play with it. It is in effect a way of building a customer journey step by step. You can add in things like webinars, landing pages, interaction, and it's very much template driven. So if this is your first venture into creating sales funnels for lead generation in the awareness stage of the customer journey, this is a really good one to play with. Loads and loads and loads of tutorials. So really quite a great way of, you know, upskilling and learning how to do it. And I am finding actually that it's a very good way for driving new traffic. So if you're launching a site, if you're looking to get more traction, build your database with connections, you know, something like ClickFunnels can be a very, very effective way of doing it. One of the tools that you'll find within ClickFunnels that they talk about is webinars. Now, we've all seen these within social, particularly in places like YouTube, where you'll be seeing the pre-roll advertising. That's where you get these skippable ad pops up for the first sort of 5 to 15 seconds before the ad sort of stops, and then you can watch your video. You'll often see "Join my webinar" advertising, and they could be using something like Stealth Seminar. If you've thought about using webinars as part of your lead generation process, Stealth Seminar is a very, very interesting one. Everything is automated. You record your webinar and then it's played back to anybody who inquires or ticks on registration. It's played back in semi-real time. This is live automation. So they feel as though the webinar is being run live. And if you record it appropriately, it really can feel like a live experience. The reason for recommending this was, you know, I've been about a bit. I am very skeptical when I see these kinds of things, and I watched one and it completely fooled me. I thought I was watching a live webinar, and I thought, my goodness, this is really good. And the timing was just so spookily coincidental that it was when I was ready to watch it. Of course, now everything has now become very, very clear that this was set up in advance very, very cleverly. So if you want to create live automated webinars that are not necessarily live, this is something really, really worth looking at, because the spin-off benefits of the interaction and the engagement and the click-throughs to register for something else, something maybe paid for, product or service, can be really, really beneficial. So stealthseminar.com is the next one on my list of recommended online tools for marketers. Now, once you start doing all of this, what you'll find is you're generally pointing people to landing pages. Most of us now within our marketing don't drive people to home pages or websites. That's very much old school style marketing. So typically what we're doing, particularly in social, when we want to offer up opportunities for people to select where they want to go in a carefully choreographed journey. Often with some of the tools that are sort of available to us, things like Instagram, when you look at your Instagram bio, if you're using Instagram as part of your lead generation, you find that you are restricted to just the one single link. And generally that isn't going to apply to everybody you want to attract. So the next on my list of tools is something called Linktree. And the URL for Linktree is linktr.ee. Okay, so you start typing Linktr and you get to that point, and then you do .ee. So it's Linktree, but a dot between the Linktr and the ee. And that will take you to a very simple website, which is free. There is a premium version which allows you to customize it, but it allows you to create a single page, which obviously then you can put into your Instagram bio, which then offers up a single page which you can customize to look like your Instagram kind of next step in your Instagram journey. And you can then put in a number of different links that then guide people off onto different sort of sub journeys that you want them to do. So in other words, you can allow people to go from a single link to a set of links. And of course, it is like having a link tree. So that one is my next on my list. It's very, very simple, very easy to set up. I literally set it up for my Instagram account, and I put it onto my Twitter account and also to LinkedIn as well. So in my bios, there's a single click, goes to my Linktree page, and again, very, very accessible from smartphone. Looks great, actually, on the smartphone. Looks better on the smartphone than on a desktop. And it allows you then to provide a little chart of links, and it allows people then to select where they're going next. And you can do multiple link trees. You just need a different email address to set up each individual account. So that one is a very, very good one. I can see myself using that a lot into the future, particularly when I want to guide people from a source that only allows me one individual address within my bio. Now, of course, at this point, I'm starting to then get loads and loads and loads of data. So how then am I monitoring kind of how things are going? Now, I talked about the favorite tools that I have being in the palm of my hand. So yes, we can all go to Google Analytics for the big download of, you know, everything that's going on within our various websites to look and see how things are going. But I tend to go first to my smartphone. So I'm using iPhone. So all the ones I'm talking about here, I'm going to be showing you little screen grabs from my iPhone. If you're on Android, there will be an Android equivalent, but I'm just showing you here iPhone, just purely because that's what I use. So the app that I use here is called Google Analytics. It's as simple as that. It's a free software that downloads as an app on my phone, and literally in the palm of my hand gives me a snapshot of the full Google Analytics. It is very, very simple to use, and you can use it on multiple websites, and multiple pages within those without logging out. So you can literally toggle between different sites. And I find having that in the palm of my hand to answer a question that might just pop into my head in a sort of an impromptu way is a really, really helpful thing to have. So if you don't have that, I'd strongly suggest you get it, because, you know, at any moment somebody might say, well, how's our website doing? Or kind of like, we've got this campaign going, you know, what's the throughput of traffic right now? And of course, you don't want to be, you know, firing up your laptop to necessarily do that. Just a quick little interrogation of an app in your hand is definitely the quickest way to do that. And I find that's really useful. Of course, we don't want to just know about our website. We want to know about our social activity as well. Many aggregators for social media data. I have mentioned this one in previous webinars before. Again, it's not cheap, and you can get a free trial, and many others are available. I'm not, by the way, sponsored by any of these platforms. I have, because I've blogged about them in the past. I have had some extended free trials from some of them, including Sprout Social. So thank you, Sprout Social, if you're listening. But I'm not sponsored or incentivized in any way. So this is just me reporting on the things that I'm currently using. Sprout Social for me is a great one, because again, in the palm of my hand, I've got some really useful tools, and I like the desktop version because of the visual nature of it. I have been using Social Reports in recent years, but for me, that one's gone down the ranking, and I'm not recommending that one here today. Sprout Social is accelerating on in terms of the way it reports back, and it will listen to everything that you're doing. You can publish within it. I've got a favorite that I publish from, so it's not Sprout Social, but for reporting on how my social channels across a whole variety of different accounts, clients and my own, for me, Sprout Social is kind of top of my list for that. So I definitely have that one on my recommended list. But that's for aggregation of reporting of my social activity. For publishing of my social activity, a lot of the time I don't want to be on the individual accounts themselves. Things like Twitter can be a real pain to have to log out and then log back in. Same with Instagram. On the phone, you can just toggle between them, but you have to log out and back in again if you're using desktop. So I tend to use Hootsuite as my preferred method of keeping everything all in one place with everything switched on, creating dashboards, as the screenshot shows you here, and it allows me to run multiple accounts through multiple different channels. And I use this as much for kind of listening as I do for publishing. So I publish all my social content through Hootsuite. But I also use it for picking up little tips and clues for some of the third-party content that I want to retweet or share. So I use it for market intelligence as well, and just for keeping my finger on the pulse, not only for sort of COVID stuff and Brexit stuff, but also just to get good ideas about kind of marketing tips and techniques. So a lot of the stuff I publish isn't just original thought from me. A lot of it comes from me watching and listening to Hootsuite. In the palm of the hand, smartphone version of Hootsuite is okay, but of course the big benefit comes from having all of this on a big screen because of all the channels. So I tend to, in the palm of my hand, tend to use the individual services just because I can toggle between sort of Twitter and Instagram very easily and quickly. Similar kind of approach really within Facebook. That's in sort of when I'm out and about, but if I'm actually sat there with big screen in front of me, I will use Hootsuite because I can control everything all there in one place. So I find that's really, really useful. If I want to do more than just purely controlling and looking at the publishing of data through social, I actually want to be able to make impromptu momentary changes to my website. All of the websites that I manage and handle, I've got on WordPress. And I find the WordPress app on my iPhone to be very, very helpful in terms of making quick content changes and quick little adaptations. If you use WordPress, or if your organization uses WordPress to host its website, or any kind of campaigns through WordPress pages, I would strongly recommend that you get hold of the smartphone app as well, just in case you need to be making stuff when you're out and about or on the go. Any changes can be published very, very quickly. I mean, it wouldn't be my go-to for making big changes or looking for some site redesign, but anything that's kind of on the go, I find that that WordPress app actually on my iPhone, and it's available on Android as well, it's just a nice little extra tool just to again keep the control over the website. Now, sometimes when I'm getting a little bit curious, I don't want to just be thinking about my website. I want to be looking at other people's websites, particularly competitors, or particularly if I'm going to do a campaign. I want to know what's going on for client sites, not just their own individual site, but kind of in their marketplace. And so a service I use here, which gives me some really great little insights into how well competitor websites are performing, is something called Nibbler. There are pro versions, there's premium versions available, but Nibbler, and the source for this is Nibbler, nibbler.silktide, that's silktide.com, nibbler.silktide.com, and you can test anybody's website. It will do a deep dive as far as it can into the competitor's website, look how well it's linked, look at some of the limitations of it, look at some of the strengths and weaknesses of it versus similar websites. It's a very, very good comparative tool. So if you want to go away and just kind of do a comparison, as I say, from a campaign perspective or from a sector perspective, it's a really good way of just getting a bit of an insight that you wouldn't normally do just from looking at somebody else's site, because it'll do a deeper objective view, and it gives you some lovely color-coded ratings as well, from score from 1 to 10 in various different categories. And also it links out to social, so it shows how well each individual website is linked out to social or not, so you might spot some opportunities for getting some competitive edge if you use that little tool. Another way that you can listen to the market and also get competitive edge is using something called Mention Map. So this is mentionmap.com, but it's an extra P after the word map. So if you just type in mention map, one word, and put an extra P before the .com, it will bring you to a site where you can put in your own Twitter account, or you can put in a competitor, or just somebody you want to track. And you put in their Twitter address, their Twitter handle, and it will show you a nice little spider diagram of who they are currently in real time connected with. It'll show you what's happening, it'll show you the things that they're talking about, it'll show you any related hashtags, and it'll show you who they have had interactions with in the past. And again, particularly interesting if you are going after a particular high profile customer, for example, and particularly if you're in a tender scenario. I've seen this happen when an organization is looking to put a pitch or a tender out for a big deal contract. They've used MentionMap to go and see if the customer is actually connected to others who might be pitching as well. And it can just give you those lovely insights into kind of what's going on in that customer's world. And particularly if you're on a kind of business development or say sales visit supporting sales team, this can be really good because it shows you some of the topics that an individual, because you could do this for an individual or for a business, it shows you some of the topics that are of interest to that person in real time. So it's a great way of visualizing kind of what's going on in a marketplace, current trending topics, competitors or customers. So I often find myself coming into this if I think I just need to get kind of reconnected with a particular sector or a particular customer, I can tap back into some of the stuff and appear as though I've always been kind of on the radar. And talking about being on the radar, a lot of the time we're looking here for ideas as marketers to publish kind of content. So you can either do this on behalf of clients or you can be doing this for your own business. One of the things that is very, very popular right now, and I think, you know, certainly if you're watching LinkedIn or you're watching Facebook, you're seeing there's a proliferation of quotes. I use an app for quotes called Daily Quote. I'm sure there is an Android version, but I use the iOS version on my iPhone. And it gives just a lovely little feed based around topic areas or sectors or individuals. You can search particular, you know, well-known individuals and see a raft of different quotes. And it will send you a daily quote to your phone, which often can be quite useful for retweeting or republishing. So it's a little tiny little detail in my day, but often I can find myself needing that sort of content. And if it's just a quick little retweet, people seem to love it right now. So that is one that's quite deep in my sort of list of online tools for marketers, but it is definitely there. Now, as we start to think about kind of publishing tools, I find that, not being a designer, not being a sort of heavyweight creative, but being somebody who's very much more about, sort of topping up and tapping into some of the kind of particularly images that I need to sort of get out there very, very quickly and use. I don't want to get into the depth of things like Photoshop. I don't have the capability or the time to allocate to be sort of learning Photoshop and the like. So there's a Photoshop Lite version, which I have found, and I've been using it for many years, free trial available, but you have to then buy the software and it embeds to your computer. It's called Pixelmator, Pixelmator.com. And it's just a very, very good sort of Photoshop Lite, if you like. And I find myself doing this, using this a lot, literally on a daily basis, to just do quick little edits to images before I load them to social or to a website. You know, resizing, touching up, adding logos on top, etc., etc. Whole bunch of stuff you can do, and you don't have to know how to use Photoshop to use it. So as a marketer who does other kinds of marketing, not creative, I find that's a really useful tool. If you're extremely, you know, experienced in this kind of stuff, you're probably going to want to go down the whole benefit of Photoshop. But if you're not and you just want to have a light touch on this kind of thing, I would say that's probably very helpful. And often what we need as well as marketers are some reliable sources for both free and paid for imagery. If I need paid for imagery, my favorite personal one is Shutterstock. Many others are available. But if I just need a quick little image for social and I don't particularly want to be paying out, although I've got a subscription with Shutterstock, I might just need a quick little sort of image from that's free, license free, and royalty free. So my favorite service for that is Pixabay, P-I-X-A-B-A-Y. You can give a little shout out or buy a coffee for any of the photographers. And there's also vector imagery on there as well. So it is actual photography, but also some vector sort of sketches and little logos as well. They've started to introduce video clips as well. Some of those are quite good. It is worth shopping around, but I certainly always tend to come back to Pixabay just as my tried and trusted sort of safe ground, if you like. When we talk about imagery, what we're also looking to do often is to create images that inspire call to action. So coming full circle back around to the customer journey and those sales funnels, often what we need are things like obviously buttons designed, or you know, quick little click-throughs on text. But again, increasingly popular are QR codes. So we can just scan those with our phones. My favorite little QR code generator is something called Crafter, Q-R-A-F-T-E-R. Search that in the App Store. And I find that's a very, very quick and easy one, which allows you to test the QR code before you publish it, before you create it. And you can give it many, many different attributes to go to a particular website, to upload to an email, to download some content, maybe a PDF, whole host of different things that you can create using Crafter. So I find that's a very useful little one. And also it's very customizable in terms of the color of it. So you can, again, develop a QR code that allows you to embed it or embed the colors which are, you know, related to your actual website very, very quickly. So that's quite a nice little extra easy one. Now, as we're talking about content creation, as we know, one of the big content tools at the moment right now is the use of audio and podcasts. Again, many, many podcasts available. My favorite currently is Anchor. That's anchor.fm. It's free, and they're saying that it's going to be free forever. It's owned by Spotify, so one of the first things that you'll get will be free publishing through to Spotify. But if you want to appear on the likes of Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, it's a very, very quick little process to configure that as well. And Anchor does all the work for you. You literally will just record either with an Anchor, record on your smartphone, or your desktop, record your episode, and you can have a whole bunch of different features. You can add obviously your logo, you can style your anchor page, and it all then gets picked up by each of the podcasting channels. So it's a very, very quick, simple and easy way to get a podcast. I'd suggest probably trialing one and just kind of sort of setting up like a little dummy podcast and then logging on to each of the podcast channels like Apple Podcasts and seeing how it goes. The iOS and the Google version of this is a great little app as well. You can literally create your podcast in the palm of your hand. There's no excuse now for not creating a podcast. You know, places like Anchor have made this very, very simple and free for you to do it. So it's just about what are you going to say and what are you going to share. So I find I'm using Anchor for literally every time I publish a podcast. And of course, you can create multiple accounts if you're looking to send multiple messages. I talked a little bit about starting to kind of customize all of this stuff so it's in the right color, using the right images. My favorite online tool for creating customized buttons, images, and just making sure I've got a really nice kind of template as I go and style both my own websites for my own businesses, but also for client work. Again, this is a real kind of quick ability to be able to create nice color palettes. I use Color Schema. That's colorschemer.com, Color Schema. And it creates a really nice palette. You input a color, it will give you all the Pantone references, the hex codes for your website and for social. It just does everything for you. And it also gives you a palette of complementary colors. And for me, that's really important because whilst I might see a color that I think that's really attractive, and I might use Color Picker as a little app within Google Chrome browser to select the color from the website and think, yeah, I like the look of that. What Color Schema allows me to do then is see a complementary color palette, which then allows me to offer to clients or use myself a range of different colors that will actually work together. And again, saves a huge amount of time. So that's a really important little tool that I use in that, that activity. And again, not being a designer, what I want to be able to do is to be able to create stuff on the fly, particularly for things like social. But also if I want to broaden out and use different channels, like I might want to send something to print, or I might want to create something for a banner, or I might want to create something that I'll then feed into MailChimp as a visual. Most of us are aware now of Canva, canva.com, a whole bunch of templates and features. The nice thing is this is pay as you go, because you can actually pay for each feature as you go, a dollar here or a dollar there for each thing that you want to do. So you don't have to then be subscribing. You can just use it as you go. And I think Canva is just, you know, such an easy way of designing stuff that looks super professional without really having to invest in the budget. So I'm not doing down any agencies who will create a lovely set of assets for you. All I'm doing here is saying that if you're like me and you just need stuff occasionally on the go, then something like Canva can really help you to do that. When it comes to video, there's lots of different sort of new video styles that we're seeing coming out. Good sort of popular sort of one of mine at the moment is something called Doodly. That's doodly.com, which again is another little piece of software that you can try for free or you can actually buy. And this allows you to do the little hand-drawn imagery, and you can put video within video. You can put annotations and branding over the top of little hand-drawn videos or illustrations. It's great if you want to tell a story that builds on a theme. In other words, if you wanted to provide something internally, maybe for your sales force, that shows some graphics or some sales performance information, it's a lovely way of kind of really making sort of human, if you like, the engagement with what otherwise might be quite dry graphs or data. And I really enjoy using Doodly. It's very, very quick and easy and intuitive to do. And it really makes it look like you've actually done a hand-drawn drawing. You can add lots of little illustrations. It just makes it a little bit of a fun, light way of approaching video. It's not for everybody. It's not for every application or for every brand, but just knowing it's there and having a little play with it can also be quite fun. Another one that I've been using quite recently, particularly to an internal audience for training purposes, although you might figure out a time when you might want to use this externally, is something called Loom. Loom.com is both free and premium service. Again, a really useful little tool if you want to tell a story, maybe do some tutorials, maybe you want to do some answers to frequently asked questions. It's a great way of actually seeing picture of you as a presenter in the window of the video presentation that you're doing. And it's a great way also of capturing screen grabs. So you can actually work around your computer much as you just would if you were talking to somebody who was looking over your shoulder. But this is going to be capturing and recording what you're doing. So it'll do a screen screen grab as you're recording the video, but it'll also have you interacting on the side. We know a lot of vloggers, a lot of gamers who record their vlogs of themselves gaming have been using this for years, but Loom is a really nice one for professional use. And again, it's available on all platforms, and there is a version that you can download for iOS as well. Finding I'm using that predominantly for internal tutorials, but again, as I say, you might find a way of using that internally. And just whilst we're on the topic of video, another little one that I find is really good, really useful one is something called InVideo. If you're looking to put some of these lovely video cover images, or you're looking to create some Instagram stories or Instagram posts or Facebook stories using video, InVideo is a great little way to use pre-made templates that can make your videos look super professional. It's a very, very good little tutorial, very, very low cost. Free assets available. So just have a little play with that and see if there's anything that you want to be using. It's a very, very quick, it literally is plug and play. And the downloadable assets are very, very configurable. So you can play a lot with that. I'm finding I'm using that on an increasing basis. It's quite a new one in my top 30, but I can see myself using that more and more. And as we know, video engagement can really help people through the customer journey. So those are all the things I'm using in terms of creation and creativity. But when it comes to kind of back office stuff, what I found is by doing all of that stuff, I've got then probably 1,001 different logins and 1,001 different passwords. What I want is a place to be able to store all of those. And so what I use for my admin of all of the passwords is a very secure platform called Keeper. It's an iOS. You can integrate that with your computer. So if you're on Mac, I'm not sure how that works in Android and on Microsoft Windows. It probably does an equivalent, or there is an equivalent, but certainly if you're using iOS or Mac, Keeper is a great way of securely storing all of your passwords. And then if you do facial recognition or thumbprint recognition, it will automatically go into Keeper and draw down that password securely. So I find that I'm using that literally multiple times a day for secure access. Another thing that I'm finding as well I use on an admin basis is the need often to be able to share with clients and customers who don't necessarily use Mac and they want to be using sort of Windows is something called UniConverter. It's a small piece of software. You can use it for free to test it, but you can download it both for Mac and for Windows computers, and I guess you could call it a sort of multi-platform, multimedia converter. I can't find a single thing that it doesn't do. So it'll convert audio files. So if you're doing podcasts, this is a useful one to have. Sometimes you want to upload to or from YouTube, and you want to do, you know, a variety of different things on your website. And sometimes you've got video and audio in formats that aren't necessarily compatible. They will be if you've got UniConverter, because you can literally find every single format that you could possibly want. So I do tend to find some of the more obscure stuff I'm covered. So I do find there's a market, and that's a really useful one. And I mentioned YouTube there. Sometimes we might want to grab little clips from YouTube that we might want to embed into or reference in maybe some of our little training programs or something like that. Now, of course, the trick here is to make sure you've got the permission to do this. But ClipGrab, clipgrab.com, is a very useful little widget that you can download to your computer, and it allows you then to just literally put the name of the video into ClipGrab, and it will take a copy onto your local device from YouTube. Often people say, "Oh, I wish I could, you know, grab that that clip, but I can't find the download button on YouTube." Well, obviously there isn't one, but ClipGrab allows you to do that. But again, if you're going to be using any sort of videos that aren't yours, the same applies to imagery. Make sure you've got permissions. Never use something that you don't have a license to. And one of the final things that I find in my admin is becoming ever more important is the ability to be able to keep notes of any recorded meetings or things that I'm doing within Zoom. It's probably an equivalent within Teams. I'm not aware of it, but I certainly use otter.ai as a meeting or minute-taking service. It gives you a very, very powerful set of notes, if you like, and it's very, very accurate. Even people who've got very strong accents seem to be able to be interpreted by Otter. And so what you'll get at the end of the recording, when you go onto your otter.ai account, is a written transcript of the session. So if you find that you want to keep a copy of the written, not just the video recording or the audio recording, actually want a written recording, I find this is a very good little admin tool. So as I'm recording this particular session in Zoom, I'll also get a written recording of it as well. So often I find that's quite a nice way of just having that kind of full set of features, if you like, from everything that I'm doing. So those are 28 of the tools that I'm finding are really useful for marketers from a professional sense. I just want to share another couple of little links and ideas and thoughts with you to round off this top 30 of things that I use. And the first one is kind of, what do I listen to when I'm actually working? So if like me, you like to have something on in the background sometimes with certain types of work that you do. I found, and again, I'm not sure if there's something on Android devices, but certainly on iPhone if you've got one. I use an app called Radio Garden, and it's a very cool little app that allows you to listen to a radio station anywhere in the world. One of my favorites is Hits 101 Radio from Costa Mesa in California. I've got a whole bunch of other kind of favorites depending on the mood, but literally it's map driven, so you can sort of navigate around the world and go to some obscure islands or, you know, wherever you want to go in the world, and hone in on the radio stations, and it will play it live. Yeah, it's really quite fun, actually, if you're into a whole variety of music. So if Apple Music isn't providing what you want at any one moment, try Radio Garden. I think all marketers should sort of have that up their sleeve, because we all like music, don't we? And the final one is just a little offer for you, because most marketers enjoy a good coffee, and some marketers obviously drink tea, but lots of marketers like coffee, and hot chocolate is available here as well. I'm just giving a little shameless plug on slide 30 of this this presentation to Woodhouse Coffee. And if you use, as a marketer who has listened to this entire webinar, and thank you for staying with me, if you use the coupon code EXPLORE20 at checkout, you'll get a discount off your order. This is my brand new coffee company, which I've launched with some colleagues over the last week. If you scan your phone or the camera of your phone at the QR code that you see on screen right now, that'll take you to the Woodhouse Coffee Co. Website. And if you like good coffee, at the moment, my recommendation, this is just between you and me, is the Driftwood coffee on there. Lots of other people are really enjoying the bergamot one, but Driftwood, I think, for the audience listening to this, might be the favourite one. But if you also like hot chocolate, we had a review yesterday, which I'll let you read when you go onto the site, which gave, you know, 5-star rave review over the hot chocolate. So if you like that as well, now the evenings are getting a little bit cooler, that might be a favorite for you as well. And the reason for putting on that on there is that lots of marketers do like their coffee, so that's my kind of tenuous link to doing a shameless plug at the end of it. If you want to know a little bit more about the story of Izzy, who is the avatar or the persona that we're using at the launch of the site, and you can see her there on the screen. I'm going to be doing a few little things if you're following the online Slack channel for marketing apprentices at Cambridge Marketing College. You'll see I'm going to just keep up to date there with Izzy's customer journey, because I thought it'd be nice to do kind of like a live customer journey as we go through using Izzy as our kind of avatar. And so she's on there at the moment, and I'll be adding a little bit more detail over the coming weeks as we take Izzy on a bit of a journey through Woodhouse Coffee. But anyway, those are the various sort of tools that I would suggest are available to you as a marketer. These are my top 30 online tools. If you have any others that you enjoy or that you use, you think might be useful for everyone to share, if you put any of those links to them in the message thread underneath the recording of this, and if you're watching it on catch up, feel free to do that right now in the message thread below. Hopefully you found this useful. These are just my top 30, the things that I use as a marketer in my day-to-day marketing activity. There are many others available. Obviously, I wouldn't necessarily say I'm endorsing these, but I just find them really useful. Hopefully you found this useful little slightly different webinar, and I will look forward to catching up with you on another webinar all about marketing in the not too distant future. Thanks for staying with me all the way through, and I will speak to you again very, very soon.